Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
At 8:36, we are talking about kidnapping in South Africa. How serious a problem is this? We've spoken to Gary Bress, we've spoken to Jill Bress, Gary's mother, about the experience that they had, or that Gary had, last week. Chad Thomas is the CEO of IRS Forensic Investigations. He joins us this morning. Chad, good morning. How are you?
Very good morning to you. A little bit chilly this morning.
Mm-hmm. It is, and getting chillier. So I do get a bit nervous about that. But also what's making me nervous is kidnapping becoming more of a problem? When we speak to Gary and we hear about this, it was very clear that anybody that brings something to put over someone's head, ropes to tie them up, is very, they know what they want. And it's quite a clear, they're quite clear on what they're going to do.
So, yeah, that's quite a question you asked me. And the statement you made towards the end about them being prepared is obviously of concern. So let's break down your question. Mm-hmm. Is there an increase, and were these guys prepared? We predicted an increase in the mid to late 1990s. We didn't see the increase that we anticipated. We thought we would see similar type kidnap for ransom incidents like we had seen in the late 80s, early 90s in Colombia, and specifically in Mexico City, where people were being targeted, people that owned cash businesses, people that had access to monies, people who came from specific communities who would be targeted. And we didn't actually see that happen in South Africa. What we did see a massive increase in was kidnappings for two reasons. Number one, as a result of hijacking, whereas in the old days, you didn't have automated tracking. You could activate a button in your car,
right,
that would immobilize it a further few Ks down the block. So they would keep you in the vehicle to make sure they would find out where that immobilizer button was. And that would become an added charge of kidnapping if they were ever arrested. But it was primarily armed robbery because of the hijacking. We then found that because they had control over the person, they would take the person with them, they would do the hijacking preferably late at night, and they'd keep the person in the vehicle, convince the person to give them their PIN details, go draw out the daily limit from that person's account before midnight, keep the person until just after midnight, so they could then draw their full limit for the following day, and then release the person. But because they'd held that person against their will during the armed robbery, it was deemed kidnapping. Kidnapping for ransom, which we call K&R, only became a major factor in South Africa a couple of years ago. And it became a problem in Maputo. We saw it in Mozambique, where rival Muslim groups were kidnapping people where they had information that these were members of the community with money. They would kidnap them. Later, they started kidnapping spouses. They started kidnapping children, like we saw in South Africa when it came over our borders, first in Polokwane, then in Mafeking, then in Laudium, then in Lanesia, then in Fordsburg, and eventually we saw the Moti kidnapping of their children back in Polokwane. And that brought about a lot of attention to kidnapping for ransom in South Africa, and we started realizing it had become a massive problem. The true story is, however, that we don't know the true statistics because a lot of people don't report it, because a lot of people, and this is going to answer the second part of your question, a lot of people are victims of opportunistic kidnappers. Now, when I talk about an opportunistic kidnapper, I'm talking about a kidnapper that doesn't necessarily plan who they're going to kidnap, but they're setting out to kidnap somebody. So a genuine bona fide kidnapping syndicate works on intelligence. They know who they're going to kidnap. They know how much money their family has access to. They know who they're going to contact. They plan it. They have a proper safe house, and it's planned down to very fine details. You then get opportunistic copycat type kidnappers who've seen in the media how many millions upon millions of rands have been paid out for victims. They also know that it's very difficult now for private organizations and even the police to track phones, because that facility was taken away from a lot of organizations after the Kinnear murder, where it was found that his phone had been pinged by private individuals. So they now see an opportunity to kidnap. So they prepare a kidnapping pack and they go out and they look for a victim. It's not as complex as the other kidnappings, like we saw with the Moti children, but nonetheless, it's a kidnapping. And the concern I have is that these valuable tools that were available to certain people that worked within private law enforcement as well as state law enforcement, we don't have these tools anymore. And the criminals out there know that, and they're exploiting that.
So what can we do? I mean, is there a way, you know, Gary spoke about the fact that he was fortunate enough to have his niece's phone with him in the car, and that had this tracking device on it. Is there something that we can do for ourselves and for our families?
Yes, so we should all have some or other app downloaded to our phone. All the major security companies have them. There's other organizations that have them. Even the networks supply LBS, location-based services, which are available to families or to people that you're in a relationship with or you're concerned about. And that's downloaded to the handset. And there has to be consent from that particular handset. Unfortunately, there aren't systems, unless SAPS crime intelligence allow access to their grabbing systems or to their other systems, there aren't systems available any longer that can now ping that. And that's as a result, unfortunately, of the murder of Colonel Kinnear down in the Cape. So for the last 2 years, a lot of investigators have literally been blind. They can't locate the phone. So the best thing to do is to download apps for families, for friends, and it has to be downloaded to that particular handset. But of course, they're going to take away the handset, and the handset's only going to come on now and again. But with us having such memory issues, now that we're reliant on our cell phones, they need access to that device to be able to get a phone number, to be able to call somebody and to make sure somebody answers that they may even use that handset. And therein lies a strong chance of being able to be located, because you need to have your phone switched on so that they can see the number of the people to phone. Because if I ask you now to remember a couple of numbers,
no, it's impossible.
You're not going to remember. Just like the old days.
Yeah.
Just like the old days where we had to remember them in our head. So, yeah, cell phones are very important. But, and this is going to sound strange, it's going back to those days of the dark 90s where we had that massive increase in driveway robberies and hijackings, where we had to be taught those skills. And we had all these experts coming on air telling us, watch where you drive. Don't take the same route. Stay in a well-lit area. Drive around the block once. Make sure you're not being followed. We have to take all those things back into cognizance, because it's a very similar crime. People are depriving us of our liberty. That's the intention. We are fortunate, though, that we now have security companies that are no longer reactive. We have proactive companies that are in our suburbs, that patrol our suburbs. They know our patterns. We can also phone into them and ask for them to be available just to follow us or be in the vicinity or perhaps wait for us at our driveway. We need to not be shy to express fear and concern, because this is a very real threat. We've seen how it broke certain sectors of the Muslim community where it was discovered that certain members of the Muslim community were selling information. We can't allow other communities to be targeted because they're perceived as being affluent.
It is very, very, very sound advice. And I think that's important as well, what you're saying about not being shy to ask for help. You know, so often I'll think of it, or I'll consider it, and I'll think, no, I don't want to inconvenience anybody. I'm being silly. It's not necessary. It'll be fine. And maybe that's exactly when we should be asking for help. Don't rationalize for somebody else.
Exactly. We're paying for a service. Those companies have identified a niche, and they offer that service. If we're paying for that service which has been offered, well, let's make use of it.
Chad Thomas, thank you, as always, CEO at IRS Forensic Investigations, talking to us about the rise in kidnapping.